You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Okay, Brain, here we are. It is now time for the Miami Dolphins to take care of business one more again. They took care of business against the Giants. They did what you wanted them to do. And as numerous people have commented, it's been a long time since there was a Miami Dolphins team that you could comfortably say would just go ahead and take care of business against an inferior opponent. And now they did that. And now they have an opportunity to do it again against the Carolina Panthers team that is arguably worse than the Giants. So I guess we're going to dive right into the preview. We're going to talk about that game today. That's what we're going to talk about on this show. But we also want to give the audience an opportunity to interact a little more than we typically do. We're going to ask you for your one hot take about this game a little bit later on. In fact, we've already put that request out on Twitter. But we also want to give you an opportunity to ask us some questions. So we're going to open the mailbag, as it were. If you have questions and you're watching live right now on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page or the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, go ahead and shoot a question in the comments that you would like us to answer. This could be a question about today's game, could be a question about the Dolphins in general, could be a question about really anything at all. Go ahead and fire off that comment. That question, leave it in the comments and we will answer it on the show. If you're watching this after the fact or you're listening in podcast form, you can tweet at us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can leave a question in the comments and we'll come around and answer it after the fact. But we want to hear from you. So go ahead and drop those questions and we'll open the mailbag here at the tail end of the show. But Brain, yeah, let me start by asking you a question. What is it that the Dolphins did not do well against the Giants that you want to see them do well on Sunday against the Panthers?
Oh, this one's easy. Protect the football. No turnovers.
That's it.
Yeah, just to play a clean game.
That's pretty straightforward. Play a clean game, no turnovers. Don't trip over your own feet. Don't do anything like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you asked the question, what did the Dolphins not do well in the last game that they need to do better? I mean, there's not a whole lot that they didn't do well, but the one thing that really stuck out was that they turned the ball over three times.
Yep.
Don't turn the ball over. That's the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one. I guess if they can do that and they can play that game and be clean, then it's not going to be a problem as they go for it. I think this is a game where when you look at it from a straightforward angle, really, I think the Miami Dolphins should be winning this game going away, basically. They should theoretically, I think, walk away with this game pretty easily. And I think the reason for that is, I mean, let's start on the offensive side of the ball for Carolina, because I think this is where it makes the most sense to start. Obviously, they've got rookie quarterback, first overall pick, Bryce Young. And Bryce Young seems to be not quite adapting to the speed of the game at the NFL level, at a very quick pace. It feels like this is something that is, it's a little bit of a learning curve for him in terms of the NFL when it comes to reading defenses, when it comes to, you know, executing in general. And it feels like Carolina is kind of running a very sort of simple offense right now. I think they've also offensively been hurt by the fact that, I mean, their offensive line is a little bit beat up, but they've got Miles Sanders at running back, and he is not delivering at the level that they, I think, maybe brought him in to deliver at, whether it's been health concerns, or maybe he's just washed, or maybe he was never that good to begin with. Whatever the case may be, they're not getting out of him what they would like to. So they're just running an offense right now for Bryce Young that seems to me very similar to the kind of offense that the Dolphins were running when Tua Tagovailoa first started for the Dolphins, when Brian Flores brought him in to start for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he was running that Chan Gailey offense, and it was very clear that the Dolphins were running a very simple offense, and it was taking them a long time to matriculate down the field. They were having to execute these long drawn out drives in order to score, and it feels like at this point in time, that's what the Carolina offense needs to do. They're getting some help with the fact that they've got Adam Thielen, a veteran receiver who is still crafty and good at the game. But I mean, other than that, there's not a ton of like elite top tier talent. And the word on the street is that Carolina is on the lookout for a number one receiver. And this is, of course, we're not terribly far removed. We're about a year removed from them trading away Christian McCaffrey and trading away DJ Moore in the offseason. So this is a team that is very stripped down and is just not in a place where I don't think their objective is to win a whole lot of football games this year, Brain.
Well, I mean, maybe from a front office perspective, but I don't think that they're coming in. I don't think this is a tank season. I think this is, you know, kind of a first year of a rebuild season. And I think, but I think you bring in a Frank Reich as the head coach. I don't think that their expectation is to be the worst team in the league. I think they probably feel like they very easily could have won a couple of games this season. I think they've been hampered by injuries, which when you're already, you know, on the, you know, in the lower third of the league as far as talent, you can't really afford to get injuries to key players. And I think that that's happened to them, and that's compounded the issue. And I think when you're starting a rookie quarterback who is clearly you know, going through some growing pains, trying to adjust to the NFL game, I think you're going to get off to a slow start there. So I think all of those things contribute. The good news for the Dolphins is that they get them before they kind of hit their stride a little bit. They get them early enough in the season. Not that I think the Panthers at any point in the season are going to be like a really good team, but given the fact that they have the injuries and that Bryce Young is going through the growing pains that he is going through, I do think the Panthers are going to be a much better team at the end of the year than they are right now. So, I mean, this should be, you know, you referred to it as a preseason game last week. And I think in many ways this does feel like a preseason game. And I think that, you know, says a lot about, you know, what we think about the Panthers, but I think it says more about what we think about the Dolphins, where they're at, you know, in this stage of their development that, even last year, you know, the Dolphins could play the worst team in the league and you don't chalk it up as an easy dub. And hopefully, you know, look, as fans, we could say that, hey, like chalk it up as an easy dub. But hopefully the coaches and the players are not thinking that. And in a way, I think it's probably a good thing that they, you know, scuffled a little bit in that last game against the Giants and that they have the Eagles coming up in a week, that they can really go into this game and say, hey, we have a lot of things to correct to make sure that we're playing our best football going into our next litmus test game. I think that this should be a preseason game for them as long as they, you know, TCB, take care of business.
Right. And that's the key thing. They've got to take care of business. Fins up to Ray Finkel, who's checking us out on the I'm a Miami Dolphin. Or I'm sorry, he's on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. We've got Larry Lim in the chat on Facebook. Ryan Van Hoover is joining us on YouTube tonight. Tervalis Tinker is joining us on Facebook. It's great to see everybody. Thanks for joining us live on the chat. Shout out to everybody. If you would, take a moment to go ahead and like this video. Smash that thumbs up button. Subscribe to the channel. Turn on notifications. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. We appreciate that very much. What about on the other side of the ball for the Panthers, Brent? Because I think this is where they are a little bit better. Now, when it comes to passing defense, they are the Panthers are not as bad as it looks when it comes to yards per game. I mean, they're giving up the fifth least passing yards per game. But you think that that is a little bit of a misleading stat, Bryn?
It's a hugely misleading stat, because the reason that they are fifth in the league in fewest passing yards allowed is because teams aren't passing the ball against them, because their teams are having a lot of success running the ball against them, and they're building very large leads against them where they're running the clock out in the fourth quarter. Case in point, if you actually look at opponents' yards passing per attempt, they're like 18th in the league, and like opponents' passer rating against, they're like 22nd in the league. Passing attempts against, they've had like the fourth fewest passing attempts. So from an efficiency standpoint, they're at best middle of the road. The only reason that they have given up so few yards is because they've had so few pass attempts to play against. Now, I will say they are forcing some turnovers. They are getting after the quarterback on those dropbacks. But, you know, so it maybe their pass defense is the strength of their team, but that doesn't say much when your rush defense is as bad as theirs is. So with Miami having as much success as they've had running the football and going into, a game against Philadelphia next week where, you're going to want to be able to be clicking and firing on all cylinders, I think this is a good matchup, especially, you know, with the news that Devon Achane is going to go on IR. I think let's kind of tinker a little bit. I don't think we need to do a whole lot of experimenting with like different play calling and all that, but figure out, all right, we know Raheem Mostert has been really good, but who's going to be the number two back? Is it going to be Savon Ahmed? Is Jeff Wilson going to get in there? Is Chris Brooks going to get some carries? Like, tinker with a few things, get yourself comfortable with what you've got in that backfield without, like, you know, taking away from the flow of the offense. But this should be a relatively stress-free game, and this should be a team that you should be able to run the ball at will against. If you really believe that the Dolphins have a dominant running game, which thus far they have, they should be able to put up some monster rushing numbers in this game.
Yeah, I agree. And that actually, we just got a question in the chat on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel from our good friend JM Santos, who asks, will they give Chris Brooks a show, give Chris Brooks a chance to show what he can do or not do now that Achane is on IR and Wilson is rusty? Now, it should be pointed out that we don't know yet whether or not Jeff Wilson is going to be a full go on Sunday. He is, at this point, has not yet been activated off of IR. So he is still technically on IR until they activate him. And so they don't necessarily need to do that this week. So I would expect this to be a pretty heavy Raheem Mostert game, probably a little mix in some Savon Ahmed. I expect that we're probably not going to see a whole lot of Jeff Wilson in this game, unless they're just totally, you know, unless they're just like, whatever, he's totally fine, let's put him in. But he's been practicing on a limited basis. I expected there to work him in a bit more gradually. So that's kind of what my thought is in terms of what the Dolphins are going to do here. But yeah, I agree with the fact that they should mix it up. And this is an opportunity for them to experiment a little bit. Obviously, you don't want to get too far outside of the box, but this is a team that you should be able to do really well against. Listen, this is a team that is allowing 140-something yards per game on the ground. You're averaging 185 yards per game on the ground. You might just be able to just put the ball, smash them down, you know, smack them in the mouth with your running game and not have to have Tua flinging the ball all over the yard. You know, it's just, it's kind of that kind of situation. And what a great place to be, you know?
Yeah, well, and it's worth noting that the best player on the Carolina Panthers is Brian Burns. So he's an edge rusher. What's the best way to take the opposing edge rusher out of the game? Run the football. So you take Brian Burns out of the game, you take away Carolina's best player if you just run the ball effectively.
Also worth pointing out that J.C. Horn is their best defensive back, and he's still on IR, so he's not going to be active for this game. So
I think three of their top four corners are actually not going to be played. So it's the Dolphins should really be able to do whatever they want in this game. Given that they should be able to do whatever they want, you know, I would prefer they take less risks and just take care of business and make this a relatively easy game and just, you know, run the ball 40 times and call it a day.
Can I tell you know what is great about this? And this is such a switch from years past, because ultimately, this is how this game goes. I mean, and how many times have the Dolphins been on the other side of this? But in order for Carolina to win this game, they have to play a perfect game and hope that the Dolphins do not. And that's just to have a chance. There were so many times in the past where the Dolphins were that team that was so badly overmatched that they had to go in and play an absolutely perfect game and hope that the other team didn't play a perfect game and that allowed them the space to come back and win. And this is one of those games where if the Dolphins just go in and they play a clean game and they don't make mistakes and they don't shoot themselves in the foot, they're going to win this game and they're going to win it handily. So and that's the analysis. You can break it down X's and O's and get really deep into it if you want to. But at the end of the day, that's what this boils down to. If the Dolphins go in there and they play a clean game and they don't shoot themselves in the foot, they will win the game, period.
100%. Yeah.
So
So
that's what I have to say about that. Something else that you want to do, if you're somebody that wants to play a perfect game for yourself, you should probably be using Caldera Labs, because they're going to make your face look like a perfect game, baby. They're going to make your face look fantastic. They got a new thing for your beard. It's called the beard. So you can go to Caldera Lab. You can get the eye serum. You get the face stuff. All of the good products over there at Caldera Lab. They're all going to make you look youthful and exciting and exuberant. These are all adjectives that you'll be able to use about your face if you use Caldera Labs. So go to calderalab.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk and get 20% off of your order so that you can be exuberant and energetic and delightful. And what's another good word that might describe somebody's face after using Caldera Lab?
Scrumtrulescent.
Scrumtrulescent. Excellent. Excellent. I'm sure that our boy Kevin Dern appreciates your use of Scrumtrulescent, as does James Lipton. Rest in peace. All right, so we opened up the mailbag, Brent, and we've got some questions. And again, we'll shout it out. If you're watching us live, go ahead and drop a question in the comments. We've got some already on the Dolphin Talk YouTube channel and the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. So drop a question in there, and we'll answer them here. We'll do a little mailbag segment here. Brent, you ready for some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
First one comes from Omar Davila on Twitter. And they say, can we please trade for a center? Third round pick is fine.
No. I mean, not that I wouldn't love to have a backup center option that's better than Liam Eichenberg, but I'm not trading anything of that. Certainly not trading a third round pick, a top 100 pick for a center when Connor Williams has been really good. Now, you can argue the snap stuff, but we haven't really seen that the last couple of games. And the fact is what he does in, particularly in the running game, with how quickly he gets to the second level on these running plays. Like, you talk about the dominance that the Dolphins have had in the running game. And you preface this by also what you said about Miles Sanders. Oh, well, is Miles Sanders washed? Or maybe he wasn't that good to begin with. How many times have we sat here on this show the last few years when people have bemoaned the Dolphins not drafting running backs and ignoring the running back position? And we said the running back position largely doesn't matter because if you have a great offensive line, you will be able to run the football. Now, I'm not at the point where I'm ready to say that the Dolphins have a great offensive line, but they're trending in that direction because the athleticism of this offensive line, what they're able to do when they get out and they're moving on these zone running plays, the way that they're getting to the second level, they're opening the floodgates for these guys. And it's not just Devon Achane with his crazy speed. It's Raheem Mostert. It was Savon Ahmed. Even Chris Brooks in the carry that he got against Denver went for like 50 plus. Like, this Dolphins running attack on the edges has been dominant, and it's largely because of the offensive line. So do I want to see us get an upgrade at our backup center? Sure. Am I trading anything of value to get it? Absolutely not.
Can I just give it a shout out to our dearly departed Dan Feeney?
We had a backup center.
He's not dead. He just doesn't work here anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, my man.
I mean, what an upgrade over Liam Eichenberg it would be.
My God. And then we're like, hey, we'll just trade him to Chicago for some coffee filters.
Well, they saved like $1 million.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying. So, all right. So that was a question from Omar. We got another question here from at Doug's GT500. He says, isn't it now obvious that the Chubb deal was the wrong trade to make last year and instead the Dolphins should have done everything possible to facilitate a trade for Roquan Smith instead?
It's a fair point. I was not a fan of the Chubb trade when it happened.
You were vocal about it.
Yeah.
You got buried for your take on it.
I did get buried. And, it wasn't even the part about Chubb that people buried me about. It was the part that I called the Dolphins a fringe playoff team, which is hilarious because they clinched their playoff spot in the last week of the season.
Right.
But I digress. I think, in general, there's not a lot that Bradley Chubb is going to be able to do, save for just going on an absolute tear. I don't think that Bradley Chubb, it's not about the trade compensation because Bradley Chubb can play
it's
at
about
a level.
What you paid him.
It's about the combination. It's about you're giving up a first round pick and you're giving him like $20 million per year. And so my contention at the time was if you make this trade to bring in Bradley Chubb, you're probably going to kiss Christian Wilkins goodbye. And I know that there's a lot of other factors that are going to play in to the decision about whether or not Christian Wilkins gets a contract extension here. But if Christian Wilkins wants $24 million per year, maybe the Dolphins wouldn't do it regardless. But it'd be a lot easier to stomach that if you weren't paying 20-some-odd million for Bradley Chubb at the same time. So I think that that's probably going to end up being the case.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. All right, so we got a question here. This is from Rich Miller on Twitter at Treetop70BG. I always wanted to know how one of you ended up in New York and the other Florida. So, I mean, this is simple. We grew up in South Florida. That's where we're from, born and raised. The booming metropolis of Pembroke Pines, Florida. That's kind of where we're from. And I went to school at UCF, and immediately out of school got hired in New York. And so I moved to New York, and I was here for a few years, and then I went back to school. I lived in Arizona for a little while, lived in Chicago for a little while, and then came back for another job here in central New York. So that's how that worked. And the brain has basically lived a little while in Orlando, and then a little while in Tampa, has mostly gravitated back to South Florida. And so that's kind of the deal. There's no big story about that, you know, really at the end of the day, but that's kind of where things are. Let's see. Another couple questions here from Ryan Van Hoover. He says, would you keep Kendall Lamb at left tackle even when Armstead gets healthy? No.
No. Not even close.
No. Teron Armstead comes in. It's such an upgrade. Kendall Lamb is fine. He is a serviceable backup. He's not a turnstile. And I think we have been conditioned to expect our offensive linemen to be turnstiles for so long that now that you have somebody that can step in for Armstead and not just get completely run over, it makes you feel like, wow, he's doing a great job. But it is such an upgrade when Armstead is in there. And again, it's no coincidence that Armstead played his one complete game of the season was the Denver game. So, you know, put two and two together. Bobby B says, is Dolphins Talk going to the game? I'm flying down from Jersey. Yes, Dolphins Talk is going to the game. Mike and Tom will be down at the game this Sunday. I believe Aaron is not going to be at the game this Sunday, but he's getting together with Mike and Tom while they're in South Florida. But I know that Mike and Tom are going to be around. So make sure you're following at Dolphins Talk. And I know they're trying to do some sort of public gathering of some sort with folks while they're down there. So, keep an eye on it and you'll find out what they're doing. J.M. Santos, we addressed that question about Chris Brooks already. Ray Finkel wants to know, any juicy trade rumors, Brain? I don't know. I know that Denver is supposedly going to be moving on from Frank Clark, I believe, was the report that came out. But, I mean, he's a defensive end. I don't know that that's something that the Dolphins need a ton of help in. And making a trade to acquire somebody at that position, I don't think is a priority. I think if you're the Dolphins, you're probably really looking help at inside linebacker. If you're going to bring somebody in, you might look for some additional help in the secondary. You might look for help to bolster the offensive line. I don't think you're looking to bolster your edge defenders. I think you're doing pretty well right there at this point, and you've got a little bit of you can always use more depth. So, it's not a 0% chance, but I don't know that anything like that. And I haven't heard anything about any kind of specific moves that are imminent or on the horizon for the Dolphins just yet. So I guess we can keep our eyes on that.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything specifically. I don't know. I can't speak to really any rumors, but I do think that you'll see the Dolphins actively shopping some of their pieces for draft capital. We know that the Dolphins are a team that is looking to add draft capital, and they've got, they've got a surplus of talent in a couple of positions. I think running back is obviously one. Obviously, with Achane going on the IR, maybe that gives you a little bit of pause there. So you might see the Dolphins take a little bit of a more cautious approach. And I think, they'll get a lot of cap relief if they can trade Cedric Wilson, who I believe they're actively shopping. But I also believe that they're, at the same time, keeping an eye on the development of Claypool, who they just brought in, to make sure that if they're going to trade Cedric Wilson, that they have a suitable replacement, which would be Claypool.
Yeah, and that brings us to the final question. Well, not the final question. We have one more, but Jordan Murray says, do you think we'll see a few plays with Claypool on Sunday? I think it's a possibility. I think it's certainly a possibility that we could see him get involved. It feels like he's still learning this offense and he's still getting acclimated to it, but I'm sure there may be a couple of packages where he gets involved. I also think there may be more benefit to holding him out. And if you have plans to introduce him, have that be something that you introduce against Philadelphia in the following week. But I mean, it's certainly possible that we could see a little bit of Chase Claypool on Sunday.
Chase Claypool. I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, why do I, like, I keep wanting to call him Les Claypool. And obviously I know that he's not Les Claypool.
He is not the bassist from Primus.
Yeah, I know that he's not. Yeah.
But that's amazing. Yeah. We should call him Primus.
He needs to do something on the field before he, well, not necessarily. He can get all kinds of nicknames if he doesn't
well,
do
listen,
anything on
the field. Well, listen, if he doesn't do anything on the field, his name will be Mud.
Oh, that is good. That Thank is you. Real good.
Thank you.
My name is Mud.
Anyway.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Anyway, do I think, I don't think that we're going to see Chase Claypool in this game because I think, while one, he's still learning the offense. Two, I don't think you really need him. You don't need to force him in to this game. And three, if you are actively trying to shop around Cedric Wilson, you need to keep showcasing Cedric Wilson. So I don't think it behooves them to try to force Chase Claypool into this game.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We have a follow-up from Mike on the South Florida thing. There will be an event, Bo Campers Fan Fest event, Saturday afternoon. Tons of Finn fans will be there, and then they will be there. It's a fan club event. So there it is, Bo Campers Fan Fest event, fan club event. Saturday afternoon is the Dolphins Talk get-together in South Florida. That's breaking news, I think. So hopefully you'll all join Mike and Tom down there. And finally, we have a question actually from Mike that I want to share, Brain, and I think it's appropriate because it's something that we talk about on every show. Mike says the Dolphins are honoring Zach Thomas this weekend. They're honoring him as a Hall of Famer this weekend. So the question is, what type of bagel was Zach Thomas when he was a player?
You know, I'm just going to go with the first thing. I don't know that this makes sense, but it was the first thing that came into my mind. When I worked at Einstein Brothers, which was my first job out of high school, they had this thing called a power bagel.
Mm. Okay, talk to me about the power bagel.
The power bagel was like, it had like a bunch of different grains, and it had like dried fruit and some nuts in it.
Mm.
It was just a very sturdy bagel. And then you put some peanut butter on it, toasted with peanut butter. A power bagel toasted with peanut butter, packed with protein. It's a sturdy bagel to put right in the middle of really any meal that you want.
I like it. A power bagel. Well, since we're on the conversation of who is what kind of bagel, I guess we also need to ask, what kind of bagel is Bryce Young?
Bryce Young is an underdone bagel.
There it is.
He's not done yet. He needs some more time. He needs to be proofed a little bit, and he needs to go into the oven. So, I mean, he probably should not even be a starting quarterback. He really shouldn't be even in the basket. He shouldn't be available for consumption. He's an inedible, underdone bagel at this point.
Mm, good answer. Very solid answer there. All right, let's get into it then. It's time for One Hot Take. We want to know, what is your one hot take? Brain, I'll let you go first for this game on Sunday. And we are very curious to know what your one hot take is for Panthers at Dolphins this Sunday. So let us know in the comments on the Dolphins Talk YouTube page, on the I'm a Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page. If you're listening on the podcast, let us know in the comments, tweet at us or X at us or whatever you do at whatever you do on that website now at X, which you can find at twitter.com. Tell us what your hashtag one hot take is for Panthers at Dolphins. Brain, what's yours?
I think the Dolphins are going to have a lot of success running the football. I think it's going to be bordering on the success that they had in the game against Denver. I think they're out to make a statement that they could still be a dominant running team without Devon Achane, and the Dolphins put up 250 yards rushing in this game.
Wow, let's go. 250 yards rushing. I am here for it. Let me see what we've got from the people here in the comments on Twitter. Broward Bread says, Bryce Young looks like a future star against the Finns. Mike says, the Dolphins score more than 70 points this week. Joseph Conlin says, the defense gets three turnovers and confuse Bryce Young all day with different looks. I love it. Patrick Mullen says, the Panthers have a competitive close game. Big Heart says Bryce Young rushes for more than 75 yards and two touchdowns in a closer than expected loss as Miami puts up 40 plus points and 400 plus yards. Kevin at Lemony Crawdad says McDaniel wins another challenge. Miami Mark says multiple Dolphins get their first rushing touchdown of the year. So that would be, let's see. I mean, I guess there's a lot of players that could get their first rushing touchdown. Of the guys that are on the roster,
Chris Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, Raheem Mostert, I think, is the only guy that has a rushing touchdown, right? Does Ahmed have a touchdown? Does Ahmed have a rushing touchdown?
I don't know, but I could see Tyreek Hill getting a rushing touchdown.
Certainly. So I think that could it could be. You know who else could get a rushing touchdown? Let's talk about my one hot take. It's not going to be a rushing touchdown, but Alec Ingold receiving touchdown. I'm going to run it into the ground. One of these days, I'm going to be right.
I thought you were going to go rushing touchdown.
I actually had $5 on it. On the Alec Ingold anytime touchdown. And so when Tua decided to force it to Jalen Waddle, who was, you know, interfered with, even though they didn't make the call. But your boy was wide open. I was going to win like $60 right there. Didn't happen. What are you going to do? Anyway, that's my one hot take. Let's see some other hot takes from the people here on Twitter. So multiple Dolphins get their first rushing touchdown of the year. That's it for Twitter. So let's see what we've got here in the comments. Let's see. Bobby B says Miami defense scores more touchdowns than the Carolina offense. Love that one. Love that take. Jordan Murray says three interceptions for the defense in this game. Love them, especially because I've got them in fantasy. And Garrett Grimes says Miami extends the total offensive yardage by adding 500 plus yards. Tremendous. Let's see. And then Tervailus Tinker says, Waddle, two touchdowns, Hill, one, and says Smythe gets a TD, and that there's a pick six as well. So, I mean, the Dolphins getting busy here. So, anyway, there's a lot of hot takes here. But, I mean, there's a couple people out there who suspect that this is going to be a close game on Sunday, but the vast majority of people think the Dolphins are going to win and win big. And I mean, you could hardly blame them when you look at the matchup. This looks like a game that the Dolphins really should win pretty easily, should win pretty handily. As we said, all they've got to do is just play clean, play smart, don't shoot yourself in the foot, and this is going to be a dub. And you're going to be 5-1 going to Philadelphia on Sunday night the following week. Brain, I think that's going to wrap us up for this one, unless you got anything else you want to share with the people.
Did you want to do a prediction?
Oh, I guess we could do a prediction. Why not? I guess that's something that we can do that we usually do on this show. So tell me, Brain, what's your prediction?
I think the Dolphins offense gets right into the groove of this game, puts their stamp on it early. I think the defense, I don't think that the defense is going to necessarily like wow anybody with like, you know, putting a whole bunch of pressure and looking like super dominant, but I think they're going to play solid. I think they're going to stay back. They're going to play soft coverage because they're not going to give up big plays, and they're going to make the Panthers have to go 10 to 15 plays to score touchdowns and bet that they're probably going to screw up at some point, which I think is probably the right move, especially when you have an offense like Miami has. Like, keep everything in front of you. Eventually, Carolina is going to make some mistakes. I think Miami's defense will force some turnovers. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami gets a defensive touchdown in this football game, especially, you know, if they get off to a big lead and Carolina starts pressing a little bit. I think Miami rolls in this one. I think the starters are out of this game by the start of the fourth quarter. Miami big, 52-10.
Oh, I love it. So here's the thing. Miami's rush defense is 18th in the league right now. But a lot of that is because of the fact that they gave up 234 yards in that first game against the Chargers. Their average now is 115.8. in the game, but like in the three games after that, they've averaged, they've only averaged, given up about 86 yards a game on the ground. So this is a running defense that has turned it around. And I think that this is going to be, I think this is going to be a game where the Dolphins' run defense is really going to come to play. I think they're going to be strong, and I think they're going to take care of business. I think the offense is going to be clicking on all cylinders, and I really think that this is a game that is going to fill Dolphin fans with confidence going into the game the following week against Philadelphia. So give me the Dolphins to win this game. Win big, confusing Bryce Young. Carolina offense is going to struggle. They've gotten blown out every time they've played a road game this year, and this is not going to be any different. Give me the Miami Dolphins winning this one big. Give it to me. 66-9.
Ooh, 60 burger.
Yeah, baby. Let's go. So that'll do it. That'll do it. It's going to be another cruise to victory, and we're going to get a little Mike White on Sunday. So, and we get a little Mike White, we'll get a little Chris Brooks. So, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. That's the prediction. So, there it is. A programming note, we will be back on Monday to recap this game against the Panthers, and then Aaron will be joined next Thursday by Mike Oliva, none other than Mike Oliva here on the Same Old Dolphin Show, because I am going to be out of town. I'm going to be out of town for work, and I'm not going to be able to record. I will try to put together a message to send in to get played on the show, but I'm not going to be able to join in live. So next Thursday for the Eagles preview, you're going to have Aaron and Mike here on the Same Old Dolphin Show, but that's a week from now. We got a long way to go to get there. So first, let's go take care of business on Sunday and kick the crap out of the Carolina Panthers. And then we will, then we can turn our attention to the next big sort of test game in the season for the Miami Dolphins. But you got to be feeling good about where the Dolphins are right now. I mean, as you look at this schedule, and you don't ever like to get too carried away. You don't want to start looking ahead of yourselves. But actually, let me ask you this question, Brian. Can I do this? Why not? This is a fun little experiment. I say, let's not look ahead. So what I want to do is look ahead. Okay?
Before you ask this, I just want to say that it's hilarious that you're talking about us not getting carried away right after one of us picked the Dolphins to win by 42 and the other one picked the Dolphins to win by 57.
Well, that's where we're at. I think you could arguably say that the Panthers are worse than the Broncos.
Well, the thing is I truly believe in that prediction. It's not hyperbole. I'm not doing it for shock value or entertainment. That's where we're at, which is crazy because we're supposed to be like the level-headed fans.
Right. But let me just ask you something here, Brain. Okay. As you look through this schedule, the remaining Dolphins schedule, right? Based on how this team is performing right now, okay? Just what I want you to do is just say win or loss. We're going to go back to this exercise that we did at the beginning of the season, okay? Okay?
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
So, Panthers at Dolphins this Sunday.
Win.
Dolphins at Eagles next Sunday.
Loss.
Patriots at Dolphins the following week.
Win.
Dolphins versus Chiefs in Germany.
I'm leaning win on that because it's a neutral field.
Okay. Raiders at Dolphins.
Win.
Dolphins at Jets.
Win.
Dolphins at Commanders.
Win.
Titans at Dolphins.
Win.
Jets at Dolphins.
Win.
Cowboys at Dolphins.
Win.
Dolphins at Ravens.
Loss.
Bills at Dolphins.
Win.
So you realize that based on that projection, you now have the Dolphins going 14-3.
I think they'll lose a stupid game. I paused on the Jets game.
Yeah, I heard the pause.
Yeah, I paused on the Jets game. But I think that in general, the Jets game I had as a loss going into the season because I thought they were going to have Aaron Rodgers in that game. And the Kansas City game. Those are the only two games that I really changed, you know, as far as where I'm thinking. Because right now, I think the Dolphins have looked better than the Chiefs. But I think that's like a 50-50 game at this point. Which, if you could say, if objectively that the Dolphins versus the Chiefs is a 50-50 game in a neutral field, I mean, that's where we're at.
Yeah. So then, let me ask you this. Let's say the Dolphins should lose to the Chiefs, lose to the Eagles, lose to the Bills.
Hmm.
That puts the Dolphins at
still 13-4.
13-4.
If they win all of the other games, you're saying?
If they win all of the other games. Although, you know, maybe there's a world now if they've lost both of those games to the Bills that perhaps the Bills perhaps the Bills have won the division. Where would the Dolphins finish 13-4 and don't win the division? I don't think that's likely. I think the Bills are losing a lot of steam because of the injuries that they're dealing with right now. But regardless, things are looking up for your Miami Dolphins right now.
Yeah, and not to get too ahead of ourselves, but since we did that exercise, what I'll say is this. The Dolphins need home field advantage.
Yes, they
do. If the Dolphins are going to make a serious run and get to the Super Bowl, in my opinion, they need home field advantage. Because I think that this offense is not an offense that's built for cold, ugly weather. For cold, windy, muddy weather. Granted, if they can show the consistency on the ground game, I still would like to see them have a little bit more consistency between the tackles. But I don't think that this offense is built for bad weather. So I think it would very much behoove the Dolphins to get home field advantage. I think more so than any of the other teams in the AFC. I think any other team in the AFC will probably feel comfortable going on the road. Sure, everybody wants home field advantage. I think the Dolphins would be playing at a disadvantage if they have to go to Buffalo or to Kansas City or even Cincinnati in the cold.
I love it. Well, long way to go before we get there. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. First thing we got to do is go score 9 touchdowns this weekend against the Carolina Panthers. Then we can talk about what's going to happen in December and January and February. So that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. We will be back on Monday to recap the game this weekend. So until then, make sure you're following us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. We appreciate it very much. And hey, let's go out there and have a good time this weekend. And let's, most importantly, make sure you get the win. And even more importantly than that, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, Go Dolphins!
In the immortal words of Ray Finkel, fins up, laces out.